Blog Talk Radio.
I know radio probably ain't gonna play this, but chopper going off in the hood, man, like Afghanistan or the Gaza Strip somewhere, man. Yeah, we hear so much, we probably know to it by now. After all, it's the American way, right?
Home of the brave and free.
It's America.
Free just to murder me.
Land of the handgun.
Land of the beautiful.
Home of the shotgun.
Cursed by the hate we throw.
You're dead if you ain't got one. You said it the home of the brave, I guess. I said it the home of the cage and the vet. All alone with the J, fucking yay, cause he's stressed. On phone with the pet, fuck the spray from respect. I learned from the bed, you to stay in the jet. Brought work from the vet, burn a rubber in the vet. This is good as it get, you to play with the rat. Then I got older and learned, stay away from the wreck. God bless you, nigga. The hustle up and make eight figures. Turn from a goon to a great young nigga. Don't complain that you're doing what it take, young nigga. I was raised in the decade, I hate young nigga. I would dodge your police because they hate young nigga. And we hate them too. 38 him shoot. How to change the system or take him through. He ain't a killer, but he will if you make him. Do a homicide here, right there, put him on trial. Let him have a life in it, then do it with a smile. And he only 19, he ain't even had a child. And the child told him, mama, he'll be gone for a while. And she cried, see her, did you put him inside? Now she all on her own, cause her other son died. Listen to the politician as he lied, and he lied. He a snake in a suit, trying to hide in the sky.
Home of the brave and free.
Well, damn, officer, what I do?
Free just to murder me.
Now, hold on, man, don't shoot, I live over there.
Land of the beautiful.
Hey, hey, man, what you doing, man?
Cursed by the hate we throw.
How many times did that happen to you? What the fuck you know about being a black man in America? And you wonder why we walk around strapped? Fuck is you saying?
Hey.
For the stars and the stripes, cause the bars in the pipe. Young nigga rolling weed and a cigar he could light. Bang red, either blue, selling hard in the white. Live by the gun, never run from a fight. Trey Bun in the hoodie, walking through a neighborhood. He didn't do shit to buddy, he didn't have to die, did he? I guess because his dad was a judge in the city. They didn't want him in the pen with the thug that could get him. A jury of his peers said all were forgiven. The cup on the mind, right or wrong, I'ma kill him. Fill him with the lead like the put Martin Luther King head. Like the kill Mac and Matt, Edgar Hoover did, yeah. You can catch me in the hood where they shoot niggas at. They don't know if neighborhood or the Hoover did, yeah. With the power rules of VLs or GD with me, we down the upright from the OG.
Home of the brave and free.
Don't get it fucked up.
Free just to murder.
If you ain't found something you willing to die for, you ain't fit to live.
Land of the beautiful.
To get something you never had, you must be willing to do something you never done.
The hate we throw.
I'ma die by my
hand.
Over the prisoner, more than the people who got to keep the children from becoming prisoners. That makes sense. Tell me why 9 ounces of crack get you more time than a rate right now. Tell me why the crazy white boy can tote a gun, but I can't right now. Yeah, I had felonies, I done did dirt in the street, but I ain't never gave to nobody that deserved it. You know what I mean? I ain't never ran no public play with no pistol shooting no innocent people. I ain't never ran no school killing no kids. Man, this is the result of you refusing to deal with the issues at hand. Product of the environment you place us in. We ain't do it. We just live through it.
Home of the brave and free.
Got a message to my people.
Free just to murder.
Stop
me.
Waiting on folk to help you. Help yourself. Start
land
with you.
Of the beautiful.
Get yourself out. Reach back. Get somebody
cursed
else out.
By the hate we throw. Is this the
new? And that's the way we gon' get ahead, man.
Sitting
around waiting on the government to do something for us ain't gon' never happen. Probably they don't give a fuck about us.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Most Merciful, all holy praises are due to Allah, who is in the perfect person of Master Farid Muhammad. We give him praise and we give him thanks for traveling 9,000 miles on his lonesome to seek, save, and assist a people to whom no divine guidance or warner had come to before. And when he got here, he made the wisest decision that any human being has ever made. And that is when he anointed for the most honorable Elijah Muhammad to be the eternal leader to his eternal nation. And I would be remiss in my duties if I did not thank the two of them from the depths of my heart for raising up the bravest, most courageous, most loving, most dutiful servant of God that there has ever been outside of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad himself. And I am speaking of none other than the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. It is in their holy, righteous, noble, and honorable names that I would like to greet everyone under the sound of my voice. We say it in the ancient Arabic language of our ancestors, As-salam alaykum. It simply means peace be unto you. I would like to begin this installment of Joshua Generation Speaks in the same disposition and spirit that I began all of the installments with, and that is with the spirit and disposition of gratitude. I would like to first of all thank Almighty God, Allah, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, for if it were not for those three men, I would have absolutely nothing of value to say as a young black man in the hills of North America. I would also like to extend my gratitude and thankfulness to the Initiative Network, for Brother Maurice Muhammad and Sister Pamela Muhammad for believing in their young brother enough that they would afford me a slot each and every Saturday where I can freely express myself and share my thoughts and feelings with you all. Dear family, this week I'm very, very excited about this episode because I'm tackling a subject that is very relevant and very, very serious. This past Monday, America acknowledged Martin Luther King Day. And I believe on that Sunday, Donald Trump allowed his house nigga, Ben Carson, to make the announcement on CNN that Martin Luther King Day will now be recognized as a federal holiday. Isn't it a hell of a thing that the same country that assassinated Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. would turn around and give him a holiday? We witnessed on Monday was not the celebration of a holiday, but it was the celebration and the mockery of one of the most successful assassinations in America's history. Now, when we say that Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated, that is not guesswork. That is not an opinion. That is not an emotionally founded basis. The family of Martin Luther King Jr. sued the U.S. government because they believe that the U.S. government killed King Jr. They sued them and they won, proving their allegation, accusation, claim. Now, the question that I have for everybody here is, if the United States government killed Martin Luther King Jr., a man who for the majority of his ministry wanted integration, who for the majority of his ministry wanted to see little black boys and little white girls and little white boys and little black girls holding hands going to school, if they killed a man like that, why wouldn't they kill Fred Hampton? Why wouldn't they kill Malcolm X? Why wouldn't they kill Yahweh Ben Yahweh? Why wouldn't they kill Khalid Muhammad? Why wouldn't they attempt to kill the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. And that is what we're going to get into today, because the United States government has a special department to deal with any black man or woman that shows messianic potential. J. Edgar Hoover, the face of the FBI, many people want to say that he was the founder, but we know who really pulls the strings of this government, and it wasn't J. Edgar Hoover, but we'll just say the face of the FBI in its inception said, quote, "We must prevent or stop the rise of a black messiah." Now, what we have to understand is that J. Edgar Hoover and those in the upper echelon of the U.S. government, they are all Masons. And they study the Bible and the Quran religiously behind closed doors. And they know that regardless to what their ancestors instilled in our people, that the Messiah is not a blonde-haired, blue-eyed, hippie Jesus. They know that based off of history, ancestry, geographical location, and nature itself, the Messiah is going to be a black man. They know the law of dissatisfaction. The most honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us that dissatisfaction brings about a change. And the honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan teaches us that that change, whether it be for good or for bad, is not going to drop out of the sky. The human being that is the result of that dissatisfaction will be born from a woman. There is no mystery God. Anything catastrophic that has ever happened on this earth was done by a human being. Thing that was great that was ever done was done by a human being. So don't go looking for a spook or a phantom or a nothingness that nobody has ever seen or that nobody else can explain. J. Edgar Hoover said that we, speaking to his comrades, must, meaning that it is imperative, stop the rise of a black messiah. Well, what circumstances are going on a need for there to be a black messiah? Because a messiah is a human being that is anointed with power to deliver one people and kill another people. So in order for there to be a need for a messiah, there has to be a people that need saving. Now, we live in America. We don't have to go down the list of what happened to black people and what is happening to black people. So it is easy, if we got on our thinking caps, to understand why we as black people in America need a society. We're the only people on the planet that don't have our own. We're the only people on the planet that don't know our origin. We're the only people on the planet that don't have a culture. We're the only people on the planet that don't have a flag. We're the only people on the planet that allows anyone to treat us any kind of way, and then we turn around and marry them and patronize their businesses. We are the most foolish, downtrodden, and hard-headed people on the face of the earth. And from out of this people, God is going to allow the Messiah to be born. Now, white folks have always been making sure they keep an eye on their Negroes because they know scripture. They know that they have done us so bad that
nature eventually was going to bring together a black man and a black woman that will produce a child that from his inception was not only destined to free his people and crush his enemy, but he's destined to set up a world where his people will be the perpetual rulers into eternity. So they've always been watching us. They've always been keeping an eye on us. They've always made sure that they've had their good niggas to keep the so quote unquote bad niggas in line. They've always made sure that they had their preachers to teach us their indoctrination, hoping that by pacifying and giving us a milquetoast teaching, that a Messiah would never rise up from us. But I'm here tonight to tell you that they failed.
I'm very, very, very excited about this evening, because we as black people have to understand that we are being targeted. And it is because we are black. It is because we are the beloved of God. It is because we are the direct descendants of Almighty God Allah. I want to talk about this Cohen-Hill poem that is still active. Cohen-Hill poem that's still operational. What does it mean when we say that something is operational? When something is operational, it is in or ready to use, relating to the routine functioning and activities of a business or organization, engaged in or relating to active operations of the armed forces, police, or emergency service. In the 50s, and in the 60s in particular, that was the golden age of black consciousness. And the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad has been credited by the enemy as being the father of black consciousness. This is because the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad made two very revolutionary statements that resonated so much with black people, black men in particular, that for two decades, the height of black consciousness was astronomical. The first statement that he made was that the white man is the devil. Now, let me just give you some perspective on what he said, because a lot of when they're talking about revolutionaries, you see they always skip over him. But let me explain something to everybody out there. The Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad was about 5'6", didn't weigh an ounce over 140 pounds, if 130. He carried no weapons, and nobody with him carried any weapons. And in a time where black men and black women were being lynched and beaten for saying and doing less, for that black man stand in the belly and in the face of the beast and call the white man the devil for 40 years straight, and no physical harm ever came to him. You have to bear witness. You don't have a choice. That there was and is a power in this universe that supersedes the power of the United States government. Now, a lot of people were being watched by the enemy. The Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Dick Garvey, Stokely Carmichael, Martin Luther King Jr., Malcolm X, Muhammad Ali. You see, the white man knows that his day of reckoning is coming. So they look for a black man that is
fearless. They look for a black man that is intelligent. They look for a black man who has charisma, has a rapport with the people. These are all characteristics of the Messiah. So they went about putting agents into these black organizations, the Black Panther Party, the Nation of Islam, Cole, SNCC, and even further down the line with our brother Yahweh Ben Yahweh, who was once a student of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Grandstar did his own thing. That's his business. But the brother had a very good rapport with black people. He was helping raise the consciousness of black people, and he was one of the ones that the white man potentially saw as a black messiah. Every person, every black man that was on that list is either dead or they were neutralized, except for the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. We in the Nation of Islam believe he escaped a death plot and is alive and in power on the wheel. But that's for another show. But the point is, dear family, is that they don't want black people to ever have a messiah that they can look up to, that they can love, that they can emulate. So billions of dollars, listen to me, not hundreds of thousands, not millions, but billions of dollars, countless resources and manpower and man hours have went into making that black messiah never rise. We have to understand is the man that ours rise. These people don't want to see us come up because they know that two objects cannot occupy the same place at the same time. They know that two people cannot occupy rulership at the same time. So our rise means their fall. As we come up, they're coming down 104 years to be exact. They're used to being the king of the hill. They're used to being on top. They're used to being the CEO. They're used to being the ones who determine whether or not you get hired at a job based off of the color of your skin and the family that you come from. They're used to all of that. So over their dead body will the descendants of their once slaves rule over them. We're dealing with a psychotic sociopath that has determined that if he cannot rule, he will kill everybody, including himself. So this is why we're saying that the COINTELPRO operational, it never stopped. After they killed Malcolm, it never stopped after they killed Martin Luther King. It never stopped after they killed Fred Hampton. It just became more sophisticated. Each and every decade, they get more efficient and proficient at killing us. Whether that we all really need to look into his work, Dr. Wesley Muhammad is speaking about and has been speaking about the feminization of the black male and the masculinization of the black woman. So if they don't kill us, enslave us, then they want us to be sick. They want us to be homosexuals. And this is why over the last 20 years, the homosexual rate in the black community has skyrocketed. Because once upon a time, homosexuality used to be almost exclusively a white thing. But now the face of homosexuality is a black male. I challenge anyone to find three hit shows on television right now, just three, that do not have a homosexual element. They're programming. And if they don't get you through the programming of the TV shows, don't worry.
You've been eating at McDonald's lately. You've been eating at Checkers lately. You've been eating at Taco Bell, 80% beef lately. You're still eating that KFC. You see these hormones that they're putting in the food and these chemicals that they're pumping us up with is literally resulting in endocrine disruption. That's COINTELPRO. Neutralize the black messiah. How you going to have a black male messiah that's gay? How you going to have a black female messiah that's gay? Because one thing about our homosexual family, and we love them. I have nothing against any black person who is gay because I understand it was all a part of the enemy's plan. So I'm not condemning them. But in my study, all of my brothers and sisters that are homosexual, they usually pledge their allegiance to homosexuality first and then black second. Why is that? The enemy knows that if they can make you other than yourself, and then whatever it is that they made you other than yourself as, you are going to pledge allegiance to that first and then pledge allegiance to them second. How many black people who are in the military do you know care more about black issues than they do, say, or the country of America? It's not many. I'm not saying you won't find anybody. It's not many. So the enemy puts a certain lifestyle on you, gets you to believe wholeheartedly in it, that you forget about being black, which brings me to my next point. The code word that the enemy used on our ancestors was black nationalism. I want us to listen because I'm going somewhere with this. The code word that they used on our ancestors was black nationalism. Black nationalism is the advocacy of separate national status for black people, especially in the U.S. So when you have an Elijah Muhammad, a Malcolm X, a Muhammad Ali saying that black people deserve former slave masters and their children, that's what they're talking about. They didn't have a problem with Martin Luther King Jr. when he was on his integration tip, because that's what they want. They want you to love them even though they don't love you, because whatever you love, you're not going to move to destroy. You're not going to want to get away from, because in your mind you love it. But the love that black people have for white people back then and even today is rooted in ignorance, and is also rooted in fear, because nothing in the universe naturally loves its enemy unless they have been domesticated. You will never find a lion and a hyena getting along unless they have been domesticated. You will never find a snake and a rat getting along. It just simply doesn't even sound like it. Now, here you are as black people in America, and for 463 years, not one day has gone by where a black person in this country killed from a white person. Every time a black person sees a white person, their reaction should be the same as if they were looking at Freddy Krueger. We should be the ones holding our persons tight when they get on the elevator with us, because don't nobody steal more than white folks. Anytime we see a white man in a trench coat, we should break Usain Bolt's record getting the hell away from them, because they shoot up all the schools. They shoot up all the police officers. Instead of doing what is natural, we've been so deliberate that we have the audacity to marry into the house of our enemy, even though Martin Luther King Jr. said that he feared. Listen to me now. He said he feared
that he was integrating his people into a burning house. Most of you probably never even heard that quote. Well, I didn't even hear the quote up until maybe about 4 or 5 years ago. But why is it that they keep that side of Dr. King away from you? It's because they don't want you to know that you lie in the Martin Luther King Jr., not a man. Not an ordinary man, but a man. And they had what is now being referred to as the meeting. The meeting. And in that meeting, Brother Martin Luther King Jr. asked the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, said, do you think that all white people are devils? And the most honorable Elijah Muhammad chuckled with that beautiful smile that he had. He said, you and I are both Georgia boys. We know that all snakes don't bite, but a snake is still a snake. Every black person in this country has to accept that by nature, with no exceptions, person on this planet, but particularly here in America, is a devil. You have some that may not be as bad as others. It would be completely asinine to believe that every single white person is out to get black people. We know that that is not true. But what we do know is true is that the right circumstance will bring the devil out of any white person. How many times have you heard a story about a black person and a white person being in a relationship, and when the white person gets mad at the black significant other, calls them a nigga? How many stories have we heard about a black person being just as, if not more, qualified for this than a white person, and the white employer choosing the white person based off of nothing but the color of their skin? You're dealing with a race of devils, and whether you want to accept it or not, white people are your natural enemy. And all white people are not racist. Show me one white person that you know patronized a black-owned business before they patronized a white one. Because if they really love you the way that they say they do, they don't want to see you come up. Just like they make sure their own come up. But you're not going to find that. We keep on losing because we keep trying to make a moral appeal to a people that have no morals whatsoever. I'm going to say that again. We keep on losing because we keep making a moral appeal to a people that don't have any morals whatsoever. And this is why Jesus said, my people suffer for a lack of knowledge. He didn't say we suffer for a lack of money.
He didn't say we suffer for a lack of Gucci or Prada or whatever.
He said we suffer for the lack of knowledge. What knowledge was he talking about? He was talking about knowledge of self, knowledge of the devil, and knowledge of God.
Those are the three essential knowledges that every human being needs in order to be successful on this plane of existence.
And the only body of teaching that can give you those three essential knowledges in depth are the people of Elijah Muhammad. You're not going to get it from Christianity. I have nothing to give my brothers and sisters who are Christians. I've met some wonderful Christians throughout my life. A lot of my family members are Christians. My grandmother Melissa is hands down one of the sweetest people that you could ever meet. And she's a Christian, doesn't bother a soul. So I'm not going after the person. I'm going after the ideology. I'm going after the doctrine that teaches black people in 2018
that's a blonde-haired, blue-eyed cracker is going to come down from the sky any given day and save them from another blonde-haired, blue-eyed cracker. If Jesus was still alive, and if he was white, nature teaches us that everything takes care of its own first. So we have a white Messiah. Your black ass is in trouble because he gonna look after white folks long before he looks after you and I. So why even set yourself up for the kill? Just as a reminder to everybody, we have about 40 minutes left in the show. If you have a question or a comment, you can press 1, and I'll be more than happy to bring you in. And also, the comment section is open, and we'll get to those in just a few minutes. But back to what I was saying, you know, the code word for my ancestors was black nationalism. But again, it's the advocacy of separate national status for black people, keyword for black people. Not all lives matter, but for black people, especially in the U.S. Now, today, their code word was tweaked just a little bit. Today, they're calling it black identity extremists. Okay? Now, this designation, just recently invented by the FBI, is as frightening and dangerous as the Bureau's infamous COINTELPRO program of the 1960s and 70s under J. Edgar Hoover, set out to disrupt and destroy virtually any group with the word black in its name. So we can see clearly that the U.S. government from the time of J. Edgar Hoover to Donald Trump have specific programs that are aimed at any black organization that is strictly and exclusively for the upliftment of black. Today, entirely nonviolent black activists face violations of their civil liberties and even violence if they're deemed part of black identity extremists. Okay? The 12-page report prepared by the FBI Domestic Terrorism Analysis Unit in August and later made public by foreignpolicy.org both announces the existence of the black identity extremist movement and deemed it a violent threat, asserting that black activists' grievances about racialized police violence and inequalities in the criminal justice system have spurred retaliatory violence against law enforcement officers. And this is what the report is saying. But you got to understand what you're saying, that these black groups that want justice for our people are the ones that are murdering police. But then in another report, the FBI admits that 70 to 80% of the police officers that have been killed between 2016 and 2017, really 18, but 17, were done by white males. But they want you to believe that we are the biggest threats to law enforcement. So they're targeting us. And why are they targeting us? We are nowhere near the golden age of consciousness that was among black people at the time of Malcolm X and Muhammad Ali and Fred Hampton. But all of us have seen the movie Terminator. Okay? And the movie Terminator, which is written by a black woman, they stole her project. In the movie The Terminator, it's about machines that will eventually become self-aware, take over, rule mankind, enslave mankind, etc., etc. But mankind gets a savior by the name of John Connor. Now, eventually, John Connor frees human beings from the grips of this self-aware technology, and everything eventually goes back to normal. The machines know this. So, facing defeat, they come up with a revolutionary idea. Now, the machines here represent the United States government of America. I'm going somewhere with this. In the first Terminator, the machines sent back Terminator to kill the mother of John Connor. Why? Because if they kill her, he can never be born. Mankind does not have a savior to liberate them from the oppression of the machines, and the machines get to rule forever. So in Terminator 1, the United States government sends back a Terminator to kill the mother of the Messiah. They fail because the resistance from the future also sends back a warrior, Sarah Connor, and becomes the father of the eventual Messiah. It's like a retrospective childbirth. It's a good movie. Just go watch it. But the whole gist of it is, in the first Terminator, the machines send back somebody to kill the mother of the Messiah so the Messiah is never born. They fail. Terminator 2, Judgment Day. They send back another Terminator, but this time to kill the Messiah when he is only a child. Doesn't have any fighting skills, doesn't really know how to shoot guns or anything like that. They fail again. Now, in the Bible, it's very similar. It says that the enemy wanted to go to war with God, but he couldn't get to God. So he turned his sights on the servant of God, and God took the servant up to himself. And the Bible says that being that the devil or Satan couldn't get to God, couldn't get to the servant of God, he focused his attention on a remnant of his seed. So in Terminator 3, because he couldn't get to the mother in Terminator 1, he couldn't get to the son in Terminator 2. In Terminator 3, they sent back another Terminator, but this time they weren't concerned about Sarah Connor because she was dead. They couldn't find John Connor because he was off the map, so they turned their focuses on John Connor's future generals. And that is where we are today. They missed the Black Messiah in the 60s. They have missed the servant of the Messiah, who is the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. They have not been able to get rid of him. So now they say, you know what? Fuck it. We can't get the Messiah. We definitely can't get God. And clearly we can't get Farrakhan, who's been in our midst for over 40 years. So we can't get them. We are going to do the best that we can to destroy those that will grow up the servant of God. And this is why there's an all-out assault on Black youth. This is why the COINTELPRO is still operational, because they know something. Dear family, I'm going somewhere with this. They know that a generation is present that will not only help Farrakhan, but will liberate all oppressed people on the face of the earth. And that generation is right here in the hills of North America. They have to stop his generals and his helpmates, because one man can only cover so much ground. But if we got a whole nation of Farrakhans, if we got a whole nation of Khalid Muhammad, if we got a whole nation of Malcolm X's, we can literally liberate all oppressed people in this country, in the world over, and the white man cannot allow that. So this is why water is poison. This is why the air is poison. This is why TV is poison. They are trying to get us every which way that they can. Listen to me, Black folks. They want us dead yesterday. Matter of fact, they want us dead the day before yesterday. And the only thing that's standing in their way, the only thing that's preventing them from executing their plans to the fullest of their capability and desire,
is the presence of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. We have no idea about the science of our in laboratories practicing against us. We have no idea, family, of the plot that is against us. We think that white folks are all right because we're judging white folks by the common, we're judging white folks in power by the white folks that we either went to school with or that we work with. I understand you do lunch with Ashley on Wednesdays. I understand if you play miniature golf with Ralph every Saturday between 10 a.m. and 1 p.m. I understand that. But Ralph, who works with you at Dick's Sporting Goods, and Sarah, who works with you, McDonald's, don't have the power to reinforce the prejudice that is secretly in their hearts. But Donald Trump does. But Jeff Sessions does. But Hillary Clinton does. You see, racism is prejudice plus power. You cannot be racist if you don't have the power to reinforce your prejudice. But that same white boy that you play miniature golf with, that same white girl that you do brunch with, go on and give them some power. And I guarantee you, I'll stake my life on it, that they'll oppress some non-white person. Still, it might even be you. So don't ever get it twisted and think that just because y'all are cool this day, et cetera, that it'll always be like that. People suffer because of a lack of knowledge. We're about to go on a quick break. Just as a reminder, we have about 25 minutes left in the show. If you have any questions or comments that you would like to make, all you have to do is push one, and I'll be more than happy to bring you in so that way we can hear from you.
Just Us Youth Organization is on a mission to help eliminate the term at-risk youth by providing STEM, which means science, technology, engineering, mathematics, and entrepreneurship education through programs that encourage positive social development, increase educational opportunities, and economic security via media outlets. Our innovative TV show, Stay Focused Youth, is based on youth interviewing STEM professionals and business owners in their work environment. By becoming a youth, adult, or business member of the Just Us Youth Organization, you can receive discounted products and services from 33webs.com. Receive free advertising for your business or organization through our many donation options. Sponsor a student e-portfolio that highlights academic achievement and talent and have your logo displayed on their site as a supporter. As a sponsor, you can be interviewed on Stay Focused Youth TV, and you'll receive recognition and logo placement on our website and social media. We also provide a vehicle safety seminar and workshop, along with How to Extend Your Car Life book. If you would like to help our youth stay focused and inspired to become future leaders in the STEM and entrepreneurship field, or if you would like to purchase a How to Extend Your Car Life book, please contact the founder and president, Mr. Jonathan Smith, at 242-423-6539, at 701-639-0190, or email him at jesustv33@gmail.com. Find out how to get involved with a student e-portfolio today. Please visit our website at www.jes-us.org.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, welcome back to Joshua Regeneration Speaks. From my understanding, we do have some questions from the chat room. I will be bringing on our dear sister Pamela in one moment. But for those that may just not be joining in, we're discussing how the FBI COINTELPRO is still operational. And the COINTELPRO, simply put in the lamest of terms, is the U.S. government plotting, planning, and executing the demise of any pro-black organization. And they've been doing this from an institutional and government structural standpoint for at least 50 years. And the term that they used in the 50s and 60s was black nationalism, and the term that they're using today is black identity extremists. You see, the white man does not want black people to call themselves black, because they know that whatever you identify as, they don't want you to embrace being black, because they know that whatever you identify as is what you want to pledge your allegiance. And if you've got 40 or 50 million black people that are unapologetically pro-black, that would do two things. That would decimate their economy, because we spend trillions of dollars with them every year. And what it will also do is it will resurrect the black family structure, which they have put so much time and resources into destroying. What is the black family structure, or the black family power base? It is the strong, black, heterosexual, fearless male. It is the feminine, supportive, and nurturing black mother. And it is the inquisitive black child. That when all three of these elements come together, they act as a pyramid that aligns with the star, which is God himself, the Messiah himself, the servant of God himself, and it produces this glowing effect to where literally energy is being pumped out of that family, and it feeds the community which they are a part of. The white man does not want that, because they know that in Dr. King's Haiti, it was strong black families that physically and financially supported Dr. King. They know that in Malcolm X's Haiti, it was strong black families that physically and financially supported him. Same thing with the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Same thing with Muhammad Ali and so forth. They don't want us to be united. They don't want us to be strong. So they're doing everything in their power to make sure that we never become strong. And we have to do everything in our power to make sure that we do become strong. So at this time, I see our sister Pamela Muhammad is ready. Assalamu alaikum, dear sister.
Walaikum salam, brother. Yes, sir, I do have a couple of questions. The first question is, from a young brother. He says, yes, I'm a young black man and very concerned about my future and my people's future. What can I do as a young black man to make sure that we won't have to go through these, the same thing that we've been going through years, generations after generations of being killed in justice, and having to continuously to fight for justice?
All praise due to Allah. Well, dear brother, that's an excellent question. And while there are many different fountains of knowledge that you can sip from to become more acquainted with who you are, I can say humbly that the most potent information that you will ever receive and eventually set out to apply teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad
I would highly suggest that whatever city you are in, you find a local Muhammad's mosque and you get there tomorrow, because Sunday is our main meetings. But you can go to FOY class on Monday. You can go to the study groups on Wednesday night or on Friday nights. As a male, the only class that you won't be welcome to is the class for the sisters. And just like the sisters won't be welcome to the class for the men, because the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us that there are things that men need to know that women that don't concern women, and there are things that women definitely need to know that definitely don't concern men. So you have access to the Muhammad's mosque in your city or the Muhammad study group in your city. Now, I'm not suggesting that you join. You sound like an intelligent brother. I believe that you will make the best decision for your life and for your family, if you have one, or the family that you will produce down the road. But if you love Malcolm X, if you love Muhammad Ali, if you love Khalid Muhammad and Yahweh Ben Yahweh and all these great black revolutionaries that we've had over the last 50 years, they got what they got from the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. So in my humble opinion, find the nearest Nation of Islam mosque or study group. Make sure it is under the leadership of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And I would say start there, because you have to educate yourself first, but don't stop at just education. Grow into application. Grow into doing for self. Grow into motivating and mobilizing black people that you know to pool their resources on a small level, because we can't be under any illusion. All 40 to 50 million black people don't want to leave MASA. All 40 to 50 million black people don't want a separate state or territory of their own. All 40 to 50 million black people don't want their suffering to end. But our job as those that are educated and understand that we cannot continue to live under this oppression, our job is to appeal to those of the 40 or 50 million black people that do want to move out with them, and hopefully the ones that lag behind for a little bit get some sense. But in a nutshell, dear brother, I would say find the nearest Nation of Islam mosque that is under the guidance of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and begin your journey there.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Brother B, for advice. Yes, sir, absolutely. The next question is, who is to blame for the shutdown in Washington, D.C.? Is it the Democrats? Is it Republicans? And as a people, what should we be doing about it? Or how should we be, what kind of things can we do to protect ourselves?
Okay. Operator Solo, I think it's both of their fault. Because we live in a country that says the United States of America, but every time you turn around, you got two parties that are at each other's throat. Now, just because something is united, it doesn't mean that the people who should be united can't have a difference of opinion. But the issue comes in when their difference of opinion prompts them to choose their ego, supposed to be serving who helped put them in positions of power. So I think it's both the Democrats and the Republicans' fault. And the thing that black people must do, because the government will turn back on. I mean, they'll find something and it'll get turned back on. But what black people have to understand is that one of these days, the government is going to shut down, never to come back on again. And when that does happen, we have to be in an economic position to where we can not just buy a couple acres, but where we can buy at least a state, to where we can carve out our own destiny. This is our responsibility. You can research how many white supremacist groups are buying up acres up in North Dakota, buying up acres up in Montana. Several states are filing for a secession from the union because they know that something is coming. Now, here we are, black people who have been blessed with the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. They've spoken to us about the fall of America. every civilization that there has ever been, whether it be for black people or white people, has ended at some point. Everyone. There is no civilization that exists today that existed 500 years ago. None. Because the Quran teaches us that every nation has a term. And America's term is up. Make no mistake about it. One of these days, it could be 2 years from now, it could be 5 years from now, it could be 20 years from now, hell, it could be next week. But one of these days, the government is going to shut down, never to be turned on again. And it will behoove black people to mobilize now to put ourselves in an economic position to where when this government shuts down, we still have sustenance. Because you can bet your bottom dollar the Asians are not worried about nothing. The Irish are not worried about nothing. The only two people that are going to be affected when the government shuts down permanently are black people and poor, and it's because black people and poor white people lack the requisite knowledge to do something for their damn self. Thank you for that question.
Yes, sir. Thank you. As I'm waiting for more to be submitted, I will let you know as soon as I get some. Thank you, brother.
All praises to Allah. Thank you, dear sister. So as we wait for those questions, I just want to remind everybody that is on, we have about 11 minutes left in this broadcast, and we're still taking questions. So if you have any comments or questions or remarks, you can send them to the chat room, or if you would like to verbalize them, you can just come on the call, press 1, and I'll be more than happy hear from you. But in the meantime, we're going to go on a quick break, and we'll close out the show when we return.
Hey, you, human being. Yeah, you. Did you realize?
Peace and blessings, family. My name is Pamela Muhammad, and this is the Initiative Radio Network. Our program lineup is as follows. On Sundays at 3 p.m., we have Remnant Peculiar Israelites, hosted by Sister Shamika. On Mondays at 8 p.m., we have Keeping It Live Radio, hosted by Sister Phyllis. On Tuesdays at 8 p.m., we have the Aunt Canary Experience, hosted by Brother Anthony. On Wednesdays at 8 p.m., we have Who Did It To You? Roundtable Discussion with yours truly, Pamela Muhammad, Brother Dr. James Jones, and moderated by Brother Maurice Muhammad. On Thursdays at 8 p.m., we have Global Outreach, hosted by Sister Rhonda Michelle. And on Fridays at 9 p.m., we have Just Us Creating Economic Self-Sufficiency, hosted by Brother John. We believe at the Initiative Radio Network that we must create an environment where we can do for self and go to war against anybody who comes against what we decide to build. Trust and believe. We love you, black people, and we are giving our lives to make you free. Truth has come to you.
Dr. James Jones III is a graduate of The Ohio State University. He has earned graduate degrees in African American Studies and History. Dr. Jones has produced the following books: Creating Revolution as They Advance, A Narrative History of the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. These writings examine the historical context that facilitated the demise of the Civil Rights Movement's patience and the ascension of a much bolder and less patient mid-60s Black Power politics. Manhood, Race, and Culture, Volumes 1 and 2, contains 66 essays that cover national events that occurred within the African-American community. O. Bruni, An African-American Odyssey Home, is an ethnographic study that follows an African American to Africa, his ancestral homeland. Foolish Floyd, the life and times of an African American, follows an individual who emanates from a rich tradition of contrarians. You can purchase the writings of Dr. Jones at Amazon.com, also available on Kindle. Dr. Jones is also our network resident doctor and can be heard every Wednesday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern on the Initiative Radio Network. Please visit his website at manhoodraceandculture.com.
All praise due to Allah. We're back when Joshua Generation speaks. We have about 7 minutes left. I just want to remind everybody that as time winds down, if you have a question or comment, go ahead and send it in now because we are winding down. But while I do have Sister Pamela on, dear sister, what are your thoughts on, you know, the continued targeting of black people by the United States government?
Yes, sir. Thank you for asking if I didn't want to make a short comment. You know, it doesn't surprise me with the government history and what they've done to our people and how they've killed our people, whoever stand up and speak out. You know, each one of them has gotten killed. And so it's not a surprise. You know, some people seem to be surprised on some of these things. As I also read it with and Martin Luther King, someone had shared a article with Brother Maurice, and they said that though he was shot, he wasn't dead at that time. He didn't die. The talk is that he was killed with a smother in the hospital. So I'm like, whoa, you know, this is just sick, satanic acts that they always do to our people. It's sickening. I'm so sick of it. And yes, I'm definitely willing, and God forbid, to give my life to see my people free. So that's how, I'm feeling about it. But the question that I have does pertain to this same topic that you have. The question is, with all of the cartel killing our leaders from, you know, centuries after centuries, the person says, quote, the minister said that they would come after him, Minister Farrakhan, but the minister said, come after me. I'm not afraid. You know, I have to, in a sense, go through this or go, you know, I have to pick up my cross. So the chat person question is, why, if they come after the minister, what will happen to the nation of Islam? That is your question, brother. Thank you so much.
All praise be to Allah. Well, we know that they're already after the minister. The white
yes,
man
sir.
Understands. They understand that they can't come at Minister Farrakhan how they came at Malcolm. The reason why they were able to get Brother Malcolm and get Brother Muhammad Ali is because, and Brother Khalid Muhammad, because they left the protective umbrella of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. See, we in the Nation of Islam, we don't deal with a spook God. We deal with a real God who is well able
mm-hmm.
to protect us, but he's only going to protect us if we remain loyal to the man that he put in our midst. I love
yes.
Brother Malcolm X. I honestly believe that had he not been killed by the enemy, he would be in the Nation of Islam today. I love Brother Khalid Muhammad, and I honestly
mm-hmm.
believe that he too, if he were not killed by the enemy, he would be in the nation today. And I believe that if Brother Muhammad Ali had humbled himself and realized that just because you helped the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, that didn't mean that you were above helping Minister Farrakhan, that he too could be in the Nation of Islam today. But the enemy waited for that opportunity when they got from up under that protective umbrella and pounced on them and was successful, unfortunately, in killing our brothers. So with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, they know that they can't kill him as long as he is under that protective measure. And by everything that we see, everything that they see, Minister Farrakhan will never leave that protective umbrella. So they have to come at him in a different way. They can't kill him, so they're going to try to kill his message. And I want to close out by saying this. The Nation of Islam is under attack. Anybody that knows the history of the nation, you know that the Nation of Islam, while we are being effective with our people, we are not making as big of a noise as the nation did in the 60s and the 70s. And the reason for that is because there are now more agents in the Nation of Islam than ever. You understand what I'm saying? There are agents in the Nation of Islam, just like in Cole and in SNCC and in the Black Panther Party, that have crept into positions of leadership. Now, I'm not saying anything that Minister Farrakhan has not already exposed. I'm just giving us a reminder. The Nation of Islam, according to the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, is honeycombed with hypocrites. So the attack is already commencing. The way that we survive the attack is to get 100% acclimated with the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and don't allow anyone to lead us astray, and have no fear in our hearts, because they will not be successful in assassinating the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. They will not be. So what we have to do is do what we have been told to do, and that is build a nation. Don't worry about whether or not Minister Farrakhan is going to survive. He's going to survive. Don't worry about whether or not your life is in danger. The moment that you say that you love Minister Farrakhan and that you believe that there's no God but Allah, your life is already in danger. So stop living in fear. Stop living in worry. Stop living in doubt. Build your nation, and maybe Allah will have mercy on you and allow you and I to see the hereafter.
Thank you, brother. That is all the questions that we have at this time. Thank you.
All praises are due to Allah. Well, dear family, we're winding down for this evening. I want to thank everybody from the bottom of my heart that took time out of their busy nights. I don't take for granted that you all have your own lives, but the fact that many of you religiously listen to us here on the Initiative Network, that's very, very humbling, and it's very, very motivating. And I'll strive each and every week to get better and continue to deliver thought-provoking information. So next week, same time, same station. Assalamu alaikum.
Nice.